If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I would ask all of you to please pray that God will bless us and help us as we study from God's holy word. Before we begin to read, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord, for the privilege that we have to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Oh Lord, we're thankful that you're our Father. Yes. We're thankful that you love us with an everlasting love. We thank you for loving us so much that thou didst send thine only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We're thankful that Jesus did not fail to do what he came to do. We're thankful that we have the privilege of knowing that one day we're going to be carried home to be with thee forever in that home eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, where there will be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no pain, no death, no more sin. We look forward to that glorious time that we shall see thee face to face and be able to give thee the praise, honor, and glory that's due thy great and holy name. Lord, we're also thankful that while we live here in this world, that thou hast established thy church and thy kingdom in the earth. We're thankful that as we walk and as we trust and obey, as we just sang, that as we trust and obey, Lord, you shed so much joy on our way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost that we feel. And we pray now that you would help us as we try to study thy holy word, that thy spirit would be our teacher, and that thy word would find a lodging place in our hearts. We pray that we might have prepared our hearts to receive thy word tonight. We do beg thy blessings upon all those that are sick and afflicted. We know that thou art the great physician. We thank you, Lord, for blessing many that have been sick to be doing better. Pray that you would continue to bless them. Pray that you would bless those that are facing surgery and those that have other problems, those that are recuperating. We pray that you would bless each of them. Lord, those that have lost loved ones, we pray that thou would comfort their hearts, that you would give them a special measure of thy grace. We know, Lord, that nothing is impossible with thee, and we know that we can face the troubles and problems of life if your grace would just sustain us. So help us to look to thee for the strength and grace we need every day. Bless us now in this hour, we pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The Word of God says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." Now, what's Paul doing right here? He's writing to the church at Corinth. He's telling the church at Corinth, "I want to tell you about the churches of Macedonia." Tell me, what do you think would be the first response you would have if I were to say, "I want to tell you all about the," and started naming another church? What's the first response that you would probably have? How would you feel if I were to stand here and say, "I want to tell you how good another church is"? Well, Sister Jane, how would you feel?
Well, you'd probably think, "Well, what's wrong with ours?"
Okay, all right. Probably you'd think, "Well, what's wrong with ours?" You'd begin to be a little on the defensive if you start pointing out another church to one church. You say to your wife, "You know, I really wish you could cook like my mama can cook." Well, that's just not a thing that you ought to say. And Paul here, and I'm not saying at all that Paul made a mistake, but what Paul is doing is saying to the church at Corinth, he says, "Now, we have a great example of some other churches that did what's really pleasing to God." And that's what he begins by doing. He says, "I want to tell you about the churches of Macedonia." Verse 2, he begins to tell them about those churches. He says, "How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Now, what he's saying right there is they were poor. The churches of Macedonia were poor people, and yet they were liberal in giving to other people. Now, can you imagine a people that, not a rich people now, but can you imagine a people that are poor, that are very liberal in giving to help other people? That's what he's telling the church at Corinth. He says, "I'm telling you those churches at Macedonia, even though they were poverty-stricken, even though they were poor people, they were liberal in their giving. Would that make you want to do better? Ought to make you want to do better, shouldn't it? Now listen to verse 3. He says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." Now, you know, it's one thing to give your money. It's something completely different to give yourself. And if you give yourself, then it's easy to give your money. If you've given your life, you know, one of the songs that we sing, and I hope maybe that we can sing this later, Jesus says, that song says, "I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me?" And that's basically what I want us to think about tonight, is that there are some children of God that as they look at what God has done for them, they want to honor God. They're liberal with their lives. They give their lives in service to God. There are people in this congregation, and I would highly commend. In fact, if I was telling other churches, and I do this often, when I'm talking to other pastors, I say, I want to tell you about the church at Waycross. I want to tell you about people in the church there that are liberal in giving of themselves, that they have given their lives. And I thank God for people in the body that have and are truly giving themselves, that are liberal to give their time. It is very, very seldom that I ever ask anybody in the church here to do something that they don't respond with, "All right, I'll be glad to do it." Or they're always ready to do it. Do you know why you're always ready to do things that are serving God and honoring God? It's because you think about what God has done for you, and how can you, when you realize all that God has done for you, how can you not then give yourself and your money? That's going to come down later and be mentioned. But you want to give your life in service to God. You're willing to give. Why are you so willing to give? Why are you willing to freely give? Because you think about all God's done for you, and you want to honor God with your life. So that's what he's saying about those churches at Macedonia. And then in verse 3 he says, verse 4, he says, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift." Now what he's saying there is, Paul's saying, "I didn't even want to take something from these people. I didn't want to take anything because they were too poor to be giving to me. And yet they insisted." They said, have you ever had somebody that tried to give you something and you tried to say, "No, I don't need anything"? And I think that's what Paul did, that these churches were so poor that he said, "No, you keep it. I'll find someone else that has more than you do to help me out in giving to these other people." But what did they do? They begged him. They prayed us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. They wanted to give, and they were begging Paul, "Please, take what we're offering you, that you would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints." What were they saying? "We want to minister to those other people. We want to give what we have to help those other people. We're willing to give ourselves and everything we have to help other people." And verse 5, Paul says this, "And this they did. They gave the money, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." You see the giving here? There are really three things and three different ways of giving. But primarily, he says, the first thing they gave was what? Themselves. The first thing they gave was themselves. And if you and I, as the people of God, if we have given ourselves in service to God, and I know you could argue with that and say, "Well, I can't give myself to God. I already belong to God." That's certainly a true statement. But there is also a truth that you can give your life in service to God. You can give your time in service to God. Did you know every time I think about, some people say, "How in the world do y'all get the trumpet of truth out every month?" Do you know how that's done? There are a lot of people that do a tremendous amount of work. It takes a lot of work. Now, every time, and I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to say, every time there's work to be done, doesn't matter whether it's picking up people at the nursing home or getting the trumpet of truth done or anything else that we might talk about, doing the radio programs and going down to the radio station and making the tapes and everything else that the church does, did you know there are some people that run from doing anything in service to God. Did you know that? That when it comes time to serve the Lord, when it comes time to put labels on magazines or proofread or do other things, there are some people that, what are they always ready to do? They're always ready to give their time. What are the other people, what are some other people always trying to do? They're always trying to find excuses about why they can't do what God has given them the opportunity to do. You and I as God's people, we need to open our eyes and realize God has been so good to us. And we ought to be willing to give ourselves and everything we have in service to God. That's what the churches at Macedonia did. I want you to come down to verse 12 now for the sake of time. Come down to verse 12. Well, let me pause. I want to pause in verse 9. You know, whenever we talk about you giving yourself, did the churches at Macedonia give themselves? They do that. Yes, they did that. Now, what does he then do? Does he set the churches at Macedonia up as the perfect example of people who have given themselves? Does he set them up as an example? But then what does he do after he tells us about the churches at Macedonia? Then what does he do in verse 9? Look at verse 9. Verse 9 he says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich." So what does he do? He says, "I'm first going to tell you about the churches of Macedonia. I'm going to tell you how they gave themselves." But what does he then do? He said, "But I want to tell you about something even greater than that. I'm going to tell you what moved and motivated the churches at Macedonia. It's because they were thinking about the sacrifice that our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ made. That though he was rich, look what he gave up. Though he was in the portals of heaven, he left eternal heaven and came down in this world." Now, if Jesus could leave the portals of heaven, if he could come down into this world and live an absolutely perfect life and become a servant and sacrifice everything, how rich was Jesus while he was here in this earth? How rich was he? What did he have? He said, "The foxes have their holes and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He didn't have anything. Don't you think sometimes we have a problem with making sacrifices to serve the Lord? Don't you think sometimes we don't want to give up our time and our money and our things in order to really make sacrifices for the Lord? You can't be a disciple of Christ unless you're willing to give your life. You follow the sense in which I'm saying that, to really give your life in service to God. And did you know that when you give your life, that then every time a door opens, every time an opportunity arises for you to do something in service to God, what's the answer always going to be? Unless you're providentially hindered, the answer is always going to be yes. Yes, yes, I'll be glad to. And anytime there's an opportunity given, then there are people that are always... And that's what, brethren, and I'm not exalting the Waycross Church, but I'm saying the Waycross Church is like the church at Macedonia, in that we have a lot of members of the body and friends of the body that are willing to give themselves and give their time. And I just thank God for the sacrifices. And it's not really a sacrifice in one sense, but it is a sacrifice in another sense for the privilege that we have to serve God. Did you know we've got so many different ways to serve the Lord in the church? Isn't that a great blessing? No, it's not like you just go to church, but you've got all kinds of ways that you can serve the Lord. Now come down to verse 12. In verse 12 he says, "For if there be first a willing mind..." Have you ever done things when you didn't want to do it? Right now, if I were to say, everybody that's going to stay after church and help with the trumpet of truth, raise your hand. Don't do that. But if I were to do that, might there be somebody here that would say, "Okay, he's put us on the spot, and I've got to stay now. I want to raise my hand, so I'm going to raise my hand." But you might do it, and you're not willing to do it, and you're not ready to do it, and you're not wanting to do it. Listen, brethren, it would be better for you not to do it. Well, no, that's not true either. I started to say it's better to not do it, but listen, God is not well pleased when you do something and you're not willing to do it. There's sometimes you have to do things even when you don't want to do it, is the point I'm first making. But I'm telling you that there are great rewards and there are great blessings for God's people when they realize what God's done for them, and that makes them willing and ready and anxious to do anything they can in service to God. And if there be first, listen again now to verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Does God require you to give anything that you don't have? Does God require you, if you don't have $10 a week, does God require you to give $10 a week? Absolutely not. Now, if you make $100 a week, you owe God at least $10 a week of what you have. If you make $5 a week, you owe God at least 50 cents of what you have. Thank you. 10% of what you make, 10% of what you get belongs to the Lord. And if you don't give it, are we talking about giving yourself or giving your money? Which one are we talking about tonight? We're talking about both. That's exactly right. If you give yourself, what did he start out talking about the churches in Macedonia? What did they start out? What does he start out talking about them giving? He starts out talking about them giving what? Well, what did he start out talking about them giving? Okay, he started out talking about them giving money, and he says, now, even though they gave money, that's not the first thing they gave. The first thing they gave was themselves. The most important thing that they gave was themselves. Giving your money is of no consequence. It's not hard to do once you've given yourself and your life in service to God. If there be first a willing mind, I pray that God will help us to have a willing mind to always be ready to serve the Lord. You know, there's another song that we sometimes sing, ready to go, ready to stay, ready to do His will. That whole song is talking about serving God in all the different ways that we have to serve the Lord. And we ought to be ready. We ought to be willing. There ought to be a willing mind. I ought to want to serve God. It's a pleasure to serve the Lord. I owe God everything I have. But the marvelous thing is that even though I owe God everything I have, and everything that I have has come from God, and all the time I have, you know, God has added years to my life. Do all of you know and understand that? God has added years to my life. I've talked to Teresa about this a lot. I owe God every day of my life. Every single day. Now, even though I recognize that, did you know sometimes I don't put that into action in my life? But every day I live, I owe it to the Lord. Let me tell you something. Even though that's true of me, it is true of you also. Even though you can look back and you can look to a point in time in my life where the doctor said you have less than a year to live without a heart transplant, did you know that every one of us, we have no promise of tomorrow? And the only reason you're alive today and the only reason I'm alive today is because God has spared our lives. And the only reason your family is around today is because God, by His grace, has kept your family together. And you owe God greatly. You owe God. But the amazing thing is not just that you owe God and you go and you serve the Lord, but as you serve the Lord, what does the Lord then do? He turns around and blesses you. He just pours out blessings on your life. You cannot, if you serve God with a willing mind, if you give to the Lord and you give willingly your time and your money and your energy, and if you're serving God, you're always going to be blessed in serving the Lord. When you do it in the right way and for the right purpose. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to ask all of you a question before I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If God were to ask you right now, do you think that you are serving me willingly? And do you think that you are sowing sparingly? Or do you think that you are sowing freely? Which way are you sowing? Let me just ask you that question. Let me read the verses and then I'll ask the question. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 starting in verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. The Word of God says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Does it make a difference how you serve the Lord? Can you just get, you know, sometimes people say, well, just how little can I get away with? What's the least amount I can give that's acceptable to God? You want to sow sparingly? You'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, if you realize everything I have belongs to God, I'm going to just give everything to the Lord. I'm going to give myself to the Lord, and I'm going to spend my life in service of God, to God, the rest of my time on this earth. If you give and sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Now that's a promise from God. That's not a promise from the preacher. It's a promise from God Himself. Now listen to verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Give what? Let me just pause right there and ask you, give what? What is it limited to? Well, let me ask you, is it limited to money? Is money one of the things that you should give? Is it limited to time? Is time one of the things that you should give? What do you remember back there in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? What did he say that they gave first? They first gave what? Themselves. They first gave themselves. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Have you ever been happy to give? Have you ever been really happy to give? Well, God loves a cheerful giver. If you do things grudgingly, if you do things that you have to do, oh, I have to go to church, that's completely different than somebody that says, like David did, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. But if you do it grudgingly, you're not going to receive near as great a blessing as if you do it willingly. Because God loveth a what kind of giver? A cheerful giver. Are you happy to serve the Lord? I hope that we are. I hope that we realize how happy we ought to be to serve the Lord. Look now at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. What's he saying to the church at Corinth now? He's saying, if you'll give like the church at Macedonia give. The church at Macedonia gave. Were they poor? Was the people at Macedonia poor? Did they give liberally? Even though they were poor, they gave liberally, and they insisted that they give. And as they gave, who do you think provided for the saints of God at Macedonia? Who provided for them? God did. Did you know the only people that ever see the power of God in providing for His people are the people that are willing to give like the saints of God did at Macedonia? Is there a difference in me giving? Let's suppose that I have $1,000 in the bank and I give $100. Is there a difference in that and me having $100 and me giving $100 in service to God, giving everything I had? Do you remember the widow woman that gave, all she gave was what? Two mites. Just gave her two mites. But do you know what Jesus said about that woman? She hath cast in more than they all. Jesus saw all the rich people that were putting money into the treasury. They gave of, the scripture says that Jesus says, of their abundance they gave. But this woman hath cast in all her living. How could she give up all of her money? What had she already given to the Lord? Herself. You think she was happy to give? Do you think that when the collection plate was passed around however it was that she gave, do you think that she was happy to give the Lord everything she had? I don't think there was one ounce of grudging in that. I don't think there was a feeling of, I've got to do this. I think she was happy to give the Lord everything she had. And brethren, that woman was taken care of by God. And God will take care of you. God will take care of me. God will provide the time that you need to do other things when you put the Lord first in your service. When you spend the time that you ought to spend in service to God, every other thing that you need to do in your life, even recreation, God will provide the time that you need for that also. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 12 very quickly. Look at Luke chapter 12. What is it that keeps us from giving? And listen very carefully. What is it that keeps us from giving? Brother Robbie, tell me what might keep me from giving. Whether I'm talking about giving time or money or whatever it is I'm giving, what is it that keeps me from wanting to give? That's right, greed. I want to keep it to myself. It's mine. You can't make me give it. I'm going to hold on to it. It's my time. Don't tell me I've got to give it to the Lord. Listen, brethren. You remember the saints of God in the Old Testament that when they were going to build the temple, do you remember what those people did? You remember in Exodus chapters 35 and 36, the Word of God says they began to bring in their gold and their silver. Do you think those were precious items to those people? They brought their gold and their silver. They brought everything they had of any value. They kept bringing it in to build the temple. And in all that bringing in of all their gold and silver, did you know they were giving willingly and giving freely? And finally, Moses had to say, stop. We have more than enough. Now, how did that happen? It's because the people had a willing mind and they realized how good God had been to them and they wanted to return unto the Lord. They wanted to give the Lord everything. Look now at Luke chapter 12. We'll close right here. Luke 12, I want you to first notice verse 15. Luke 12 and verse 15. The Word of God says, and He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Now can a person who has been willing to give in the past, can a person who has been giving themselves in service to God, can that person change and stop being a really willing servant to the Lord? Can a person who used to spend all their time really just serving the Lord, serving the church, can that person change and all of a sudden they just shut up their bowels of compassion and they're not willing to give their time and their energy and their money? Can that happen to a child of God? Indeed it can. You know what happened? The Word of God says here, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, who will tell me this parable right here quickly in closing? Who will tell me this parable? All right, Brother Wendell, go ahead. Well, that was good, wasn't it? That was better than me reading it. Did you know? In fact, he followed it right to a T. He said, the man said to himself, self? That's the way Brother Wendell said it. Well, the Scripture says it is, the man said, I will say to my soul, soul? You see, he's talking to himself. I've got all this good stuff. I'm going to tear down these barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. And listen to what God said. Verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? What are you saving up for? What are you saving your time for? What is it that interferes with your service to God? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Again, I want to say tonight how thankful I am for those of you that are rich toward God. I want to say how thankful I am for the members and friends of this church that are rich in giving your time and your energy, and every time you're called on, you're ready to do everything you can in your service to God. I thank God for you, and I pray that God will help you as long as you live to keep right on being faithful in giving, because I have the privilege to say, now I don't know who the pastor was at Corinth. It wasn't Paul. Paul was the apostle that was preaching there. But I don't know who the pastor was at Corinth, but that was really an unfaithful pastor. Did y'all know that? The reason I say that is Paul had to write the church about all the things that were wrong, and the pastor of the church should have already been addressing those things. But I can honestly, truthfully say that I thank God for the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, for those saints of God that serve the Lord here who are willing to give, and they first give themselves, and they give their time, and they give their energy, and they give their money, and they give everything that needs to be given. May God help us as long as we live to not be unfaithful in giving to the Lord, is my prayer, for Christ's sake. Amen.